Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Welcome. This is the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to Sandra Joy Jones, who's right on time, darling. Shout out to you. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank everybody for joining me. Thank all the listeners all across the United States of America who listen every Thursday to the Ron Kelly Show. All right, it's September 17th already. 2020. I mean, I guess everybody, you know, including myself, just can't wait for 2020 to be over. It's been such a strange year with all that's going on, the civil unrest and the COVID virus and all that's going on. It's just been a really crazy year this year so far. But in any case, welcome. We're all still here. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has spared a brother. And all of you from the scourge of the coronavirus that's closing in on 200,000 folks who have lost their lives because of this virus. In any case, everybody, we all keep our head up and keep pushing on. So welcome once again. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Shout out to Roz Christie. Happy belated birthday, darling. Happy birthday to you and many, 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 many more. All right, I'm the man, yours truly, Ron Kelly. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Streaming live on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com, and also on my YouTube channel, The Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel. That's live and in living color right now. So if you don't have access to Facebook, you can definitely check me out on the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel. Okay, all right, got lots and lots and lots to talk about. Man, this has been just a crazy year. So far, and you know, let me start with this. You know, fake news is at an all-time high right now. You know, and all people have to do, see, you can't even believe a lot of the things you see, especially on the internet. There are all kinds of nefarious folks, not even from America, people from China and Russia and some other places who are trying to influence this election. And you have to be careful, because I notice, you know, I'm not the biggest Facebook fan. But I notice that there's a lot of stories being posted and reposted. Shout out to Bunny McKnight, my brother, love you, man. Shout out to Ronald McCready, my fourth grade classmate. Wow, I can't believe he remembered that. School number 9 in downtown Jersey City. I won't tell you how long ago that was. But anyway, shout out to you, Ronald McCready, Bunny McKnight, Sandra Joy Jones, and all the folks who are listening, partaking of the source of the truth, justice, and the and the liberty in the United States of America. It's a Ron Kelly show. So once again, there's a lot of fake news going on around out there, especially on the internet, and people are reposting things that are just not true. And a lot of us are helping these people, the Chinese and the Russians, Putin in particular, who want Donald Trump to remain the president of the United States for another 4 years. See, because Russia has had it fairly easy, and they don't want Joe Biden to become the president, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, vice presidential nominee. They don't want Donald Trump to lose this election. So there's a lot of stories being posted on Facebook, and many of us are reposting these stories, and we're actually assisting. We are helping these folks who are putting out this outrageous nonsense. And it's hard to believe that, I guess if you're not involved in politics and news as much as I am, you know, because there's a lot of things that I see that I just know that are not true. And I don't repost unless I check, recheck, double check, fact check, and make sure that these things are legitimate before I repost them on my Facebook page. And I noticed that a lot of you guys out there are reposting stories that are just patently not true. So we need to be careful of things that we repost, the things that we post, the stories that we read, and then we post on Facebook. Because I see a lot of things and I just know right away there's no way that this could be true. So everybody, please, please do your due diligence. And I know a lot of us post for likes and we post for different reasons. We post for attention. A lot of us do. You know, I've been guilty of that at one time. I don't do it anymore. But because I know that a lot of these stories that are posted on in the news and on the internet especially are just not true. So welcome again, once again, everybody. It's just a couple minutes past the hour of 7 p.m. It's the Ron Kelly Show, heard here every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. And I got a program note that the Ron Kelly Show will air starting October 2nd. The Ron Kelly Show will air on WWPR 1490 a.m. in Tampa Bay, Florida at 7 o'clock on Friday, not Thursday. It'll be broadcasting on Friday. We got to get into Florida because, and I'll talk about it a little bit later on about the disconnect between Joe Biden and the Latino community. We will talk about that. But once again, everybody, please, please, please don't just post anything on Facebook because you're actually assisting the folks who are trying to disrupt the election, the upcoming election in just a few weeks from now. And there's a lot of stuff going around that's just not true. So please, once again, please, and I know I'm saying this ad nauseum, but everybody, please, please do not post just any outrageous nonsense that you see on Facebook. Because again, a lot of people are posting for likes. Me personally, I don't post for likes. You know, I try to post what's actually factually true. And so many of you are not checking your sources. So please do check your sources because you are actually assisting these folks by reposting their nonsense. Shout out to Dave Ullman, who's watching the program, and speedy recovery to you, Dave, with your hernia operation that you just recently had. Hope that you recover quickly and stay out of the gym like I'm going to have to do, because I'm going to need to have something done. I'll get into it, you know, as I go along. And if I got to do my show from if I have to go in the hospital and I have to do my show from my hospital bed, you can best believe that I will. Okay, so the NFL season started last week, you know, and the ratings are down. You know, now you have these conservatives in the kook fringe, extreme right wing, garbage haulers, who are saying that the NFL ratings are down because of the kneeling and because of the moments of silence. As a matter of fact, in the opening game last Thursday between Kansas City and the Houston Texans, when they had a moment of silence in the middle of the field, there were many people. There were about 16,000 folks that were allowed to enter Arrowhead Stadium, the home of the Kansas City Chiefs, and folks were, those folks were allowed to come into the stadium, and they booed when the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans met in the middle of the stadium to have a moment of silence. And there's just so much hate out there. And we'll get into that. I will definitely get into that. The NFL ratings and the ratings are down. We'll get into that also. And Trump supporters now are predicting violence. And I got a couple of clips, I got a couple of sound bites that I'm going to play to put you guys in touch with the fact that there are people out there who will be, if Trump loses, there will be, I do believe that there will be some violence. And I'm not saying that there's going to be a civil war, but there are people out there who are predicting there's going to be a civil war. We'll get into that. Shout out to Linda Lombroso, who's watching the program. Thank you so much, Linda, for your support. So once again, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And after the break, you know, after the next break, we're going to talk about black businesses. We're going to get into this. And I know a lot of y'all feathers are going to be ruffled, but that's okay because that's what I do. I'm not trying to please everybody, and you can't please everybody. So we'll be getting into black businesses and why black businesses have to appeal to black people for support. Shout out to my boy Albert Vega. I'm sure you guys checked him out last night. I did. Albert Vega, who spins the wheels every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, I believe it is, on the dwildmusicradio.com website. Just as you can check him out on dwildmusicradio.com and on his Facebook Live every Wednesday night. DJ Tiny spinning the wheels for you guys. On Facebook Live and on dwildmusicradio.com. All right, so lots going on. You know, this civil unrest and these things have swept the country. And, you know, and there are folks on Fox News and some of the other people, Limbaugh and some of the other kook fringe Republican or conservative television personalities and radio personalities who are pushing this narrative about and trying to attribute the civil unrest and some of the rioting and what's going on to the Black Lives Matter movement. And I can tell you that the Black Lives Matter movement has nothing to do. You're welcome, my brother Albert Vega. The Black Lives movement has nothing to do in theory with what's going on behind the scenes with some of the rioting and the looting that's going on. You know, I mean, there are some people who are just interested in rioting and looting that have no care in the world about what's going on in regards to the police violence. So we'll get into that, and we'll get in Breonna Taylor. We'll get into that. We'll get into the $12 million settlement that the city of Louisville decided to settle the complaint that was lodged against them. And 6 months later, there still has been no arrest or charges filed against any of the police officers besides the one that did get fired. But again, some police department from Jerkwater, USA, will rehire this guy. So we got a lot to talk about tonight, a lot to talk about 15 minutes past the hour. And once again, the Ron Kelly Show will air on WWPR 1490 AM on Friday. I want to let everybody know Friday. It's 7 p.m. Friday from 7 to 8, the Ron Kelly Show on WWPR 1490 a.m. So we talk about peaceful protests and why can't we protest peacefully? You know, Dr. Martin Luther King was the antithesis of peaceful protesting. Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, talked about black people and white people coming together. He talked about little black boys and little black girls. In his speech in the March on Washington. And Dr. King was an advocate of peace, but they shot him in the head. You know, so we have people who are talking this nonsense about why can't we protest peacefully? And Dr. Martin Luther King, who was peaceful as anybody could be, his passion didn't override his desire for peace. And Dr. Martin Luther King was shot in the head. You know, when John Lewis, the late John Lewis, the civil rights icon, who died just about a month ago or so, was peaceful as well. And the people that he was with, who, when they walked over the Edmund Pettus Bridge many, many years ago, they were beat. They were had dogs set upon with dogs and hit with bats and clubs. And so again, it's another double standard from coming from the white folks, and not all, you know, shout out to my white friends and the white folks who do listen to the Ron Kelly Show every week. And so, you know, they it's another double standard. Why can't we protest peacefully? But when black folks did try to protest peacefully back in the day, again, they were set upon with dogs and high-powered water hoses and stuff like that. You look back to the Little Rock Nine, the nine high schoolers who tried to infiltrate, or who they got given right to a public education, who tried to go to school in Little Rock, and they were set upon and cursed at and spit on and all kinds of stuff, you know. So when black folks did try to protest peacefully, the white folks at the time responded with violence. So I don't get it how, you know, how today people are, white folks, some white folks, not all, are saying that we should be protesting peacefully when black folks did try to protest peacefully, they were set upon with dogs and high-powered water hoses. Again, police officers with billy clubs beating the crap out of them when they tried to protest peacefully. And just recently, when the president wanted to stand in front of the church that's just a few steps away from the White House, when he wanted to stand in front of that church and hold the Bible upside down, God only knows what that was about. And so in order to clear the road, because there were folks in the park there crossing the White House who were protesting peacefully, and the Secret Service, the uniform section of the police of the Secret Service, threw flash grenades out and tear gas to try to clear the road. And those people were protesting peacefully. So this nonsense about peaceful protests, why can't we protest peacefully? When people do try to protest peacefully, they're set upon with tear gas grenades and rubber bullets and all kinds of stuff. So it's just absolutely absurd that white folks, or some white folks, would say that we are, why can't we be a little more, like, why do we have to protest with violence? All right, everybody, it's about 20 minutes past the hour, and got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm sorry, I suffered through the ABC town hall with President Trump, who just is incapable of telling the truth. And so we'll get to that. We got a lot. We'll get to the black business after the break. There's a lot we need to talk about tonight. The football ratings, we'll get into that, and why the ratings are down. We'll get into all of that in just a second, as soon as we take just one quick break. So we'll do that really quick, and we'll come back with more of this program. It's September 17th, everybody, and you're listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's The Ron Kelly Show. RonKellyShow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of The Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media, LLC.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed, everybody. It's just about 22 minutes past the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Excited. The Ron Kelly Show website is being constructed as we speak. There will be a lot of information going on there. And stories, true stories, not the nonsense, not the BS, not the information that's being put out there that is patently, completely untrue. And there'll be room for advertisers. There's going to be a lot going on, very interactive. So I'm patiently waiting for the Ron Kelly Show, the launch of the Ron Kelly Show website. Looking forward to that. And once again, on October 2nd, the Ron Kelly Show will air at a different time on the WPR 1490 AM, 7 p.m. on Friday. 7 p.m. Fridays is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on WWPR 1490 AM, Tampa Bay's number one talk radio station. Okay, yeah, and I was just reminded by shout out to Dave Ullman, who just reminded me about Colin Kaepernick. You know, we all know what happened with Colin Kaepernick. He kneeled, and he was, you know, and the narrative was changed. And just some people just can't get the reason why Colin Kaepernick kneeled, or they refuse to you know, I think it's for some folks, it's just out and out, playing out and out, embarrassing that the, that, you know, that what's going on in this country right now with the killings of unarmed black men. It's just unbelievable how people are just, some white folks, not all, are just, and I have to say that, who are switching the narrative and blaming people like Colin Kaepernick who peacefully kneeled. Now, do I agree that, you know, that Colin Kaepernick should have? Now, I have mixed feelings about that, whether Colin Kaepernick should have knelt during the football game. I have some kind of mixed feelings about that. I do support what he did, and, you know, but there are folks who are flipping the narrative and trying to say that, including President Trump, who was trying to say that Colin Kaepernick and the folks who kneel are disrespecting the flag. Now, we all know, you know, before I get into the black businesses, now we all know John McCain, Senator John McCain, who passed away last year, I believe it was, who was a war hero. John McCain was captured by the Vietnamese, and he spent 5 years as a POW, as a prisoner of war with the Vietnamese. Now, you can only imagine what he went, I can't even imagine what John McCain went through as a prisoner of war of the Vietnamese. I'm pretty sure that they just made his life miserable for the 5 whole years that he spent as a POW. And then Trump called him a loser, you know, disrespected this man. During his campaign, the Gold Star family, who he berated, the Gold Star family who lost a son in the war, and he just kicked dirt on them as well. So, you know, I tend to believe that, you know, that this assertion that Trump called people who went to Vietnam, for example, losers, you know, I definitely believe that. And then you have these, I mean, it's just unbelievable how these conservatives are raising Trump up and saying he's the best thing that ever happened to veterans. When you have these veterans, and, you know, Jon Stewart, who used to host The Daily Show, who now is an advocate of the troops who served in not just Vietnam, but the troops who served in overseas in Afghanistan and the war with Iraq. And who are suffering because when they were out there was nobody coming around to pick up the garbage every day, so they had to burn the garbage and burn the trash and burn the waste, and those fumes from that had an effect on the troops who served in Desert Storm and some of the other recent conflicts, and you can't even get and so now the the Department of Veterans Affairs is telling these people who served this country to prove that they were affected by this. So it's just, you know, it's just unbelievable the lies that are being told and the folks who are just completely delusional who are holding Trump up. It's just crazy. Shout out to Sharonella Chambers who's watching the show. Shout out to you, my sister. Shout out to Rosamond Christie who's watching the show. Once again, happy belated birthday, Roz Christie. You know, hope you had a great time and many, many, many more birthdays. You know, I mean, you get to the point where you just stop celebrating when you start to get older. You know, it used to be the party time, 18, 19, 20s, 30s. You know, then you hit the 40s and, you know, then you hit the 50s and you're like, you know, I don't know if I want to celebrate now. But, you know, life is worth celebrating, especially in this COVID era where 200,000 folks nearly have passed on. And there's going to be a lot more before this, before there's a cure for this dreaded virus. Okay, so we talk about black businesses. You know, when I mentioned, you know, but I mentioned last week on a post about how black folks would feel if white folks would say, "Oh, white owned," you know, come to Costco, it's white owned. Come to, you know, some of these other businesses that are controlled by white folks. Hey, Amazon is white owned. And, you know, and I wonder, you know, and I think that if white folks actually did that, black folks would be up in arms about white businesses advertising themselves as white businesses. I think black folks would be up in arms as racism, as this, that, and the other. You know, so you got to wonder, you know, why black businesses have to appeal to black people for to do commerce with them. Because all the other ethnic groups, you know, you don't hear people saying Jewish owned or Indian owned or Hispanic owned. You don't see that because these ethnic groups support the people, support their own people. They do business in their own area. There's an area of Jersey City, for example, and there's one in Colonia, New Jersey as well, too. Woodbridge, for example, where there's all Indian stores. There's a section of Jersey City about 3 or 4 block long, just a section of stores that are all Indian owned. You can buy anything you want. You don't, because those people don't run to the mall, you know, like we do. They do business with each other. So why is it that black businesses have to appeal to black people to do commerce with them? Well, I'll tell you like this. See, now I do hear sometimes, hey, there's a business that's owned by black people. And I go, you know, because I want to support my people. So I'll go to that business. But if the food is not good or if you got it takes too long or I believe it's too expensive, I'll go somewhere else. And see, and this is part of the problem. Now, you know, now a lot of us won't admit it now, but it's true that sometimes when we do business with other black folks, you know, there's always somebody's always running out of something. Now, if I ask 10 black people what their biggest issue was with black businesses, they probably would say, like for a black restaurant, for example, they might say, well, you know, they always running out of stuff. Because that is true that, you know, that there are a lot of places, black restaurants and eateries that do run out of stuff. So when you go there looking for a certain thing, they don't have it. You know, now I think that, you know, part of the problem with black businesses is just customer service, you know, providing a good product, producing a good product. Because I'll tell you what, if I go to a black business and the food is good and the price is reasonable and the service is good, yeah, of course I'll go back. But you have to take a look at, like, for example, like Sylvia's. Everybody goes to Sylvia's, you know, and it's gone down a little bit since Sylvia Miss Sylvia passed away some years ago, but people go there because the food is good. You get a lot, you know, it might be a little pricey, but the food is good. The atmosphere is good. And so we partake of that place. You know, look at the Golden Crust, for example. I go to Golden Crust a lot, you know, because the food is good. You get enough. The price is fairly reasonable. Now, a lot of times, a lot of our businesses just suffer from a lack of business savvy, you know. this is what happens. See, because if I go to a business and everything is cool, you know, black business, I'll go back and support that business. But a lot of times, you know, a lot of us don't want to admit it, but some of these businesses, black businesses, so some of us just don't know how to do business, you know. So, again, if I go to a black business and everything is working, you know, okay, I'll go back. But, or Amy Roots or someplace like that. I mean, the food is good. The atmosphere is nice. You know, so we go back. See, because it's not about being black business or white business. If you got a good business, if you got a decent business, shout out to Linda LaBraza who said Amy Roots is better than Sylvie's. Okay, but I'll go to either one of them. You know, so we talk about black businesses and, you know, and why black folks don't support black businesses. It might just be because some of the businesses are just not doing business the way they should. They're just not doing business the way they should. And you know, and that's part of it. The other thing is trust. Because I see people, you know, people on Facebook who are trying to do business and you know, and offering a reasonable product, and they just get ignored. You know, they just basically get ignored. Because there's a lot of distrust in the black community when it comes to black businesses. There's a lot of distrust. And in some cases, you know, some of the black folks just don't know how to do business. That's basically it. It's not that I don't think that black people don't participate in black businesses because, you know, because they just, I mean, part of it is the support piece. Part of it is trust. But I think some of it is just like some businesses, some people, black businesses are just not run properly. They're just not run properly. And I think that's what kind of happens with the disconnect between black folks, you know, and black businesses. There's a lot of us who won't admit that we'd rather go to the Firestone tire place than to go to a black business, because you know that, you know, that 9 times out of 10, you're going to get service. You know, if something goes wrong, you can go back and get it fixed. And a lot of black businesses, you can't do that. You know, some of the auto body shops and some of the other places you go to, the job is, you know, and the work is shoddy. You know, if something goes wrong, you try to bring your vehicle back to get it fixed. Oh, well, I don't know what happened. Oh, you must have did something. And so I think that black folks need to learn how to do business. It's not that, you know, I mean, yeah, there are some underlying circumstances as to why black folks don't do commerce or do business with other black businesses. Yeah, there's some other things, jealousy, envy, you know, distrust, you know, there's a few things that are going on that causes black folks not to underlying circumstances that where black folks don't do commerce or do business with other black folks. But a lot of times it's just the business. It's the business itself. You know, it's the business itself. I mean, it took years for me to find a barber who didn't run out and talk to chicks every 5 minutes, you know, or who didn't show up until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, you know, these are the things that go down with our businesses. And I think that black folks need to learn how to do business, how to, you know, how to treat the customer right, how to do customer service. And a lot of y'all going to be like, what, you know, a lot of y'all won't agree with me. But behind the scenes, y'all, some of y'all know, what's the biggest problem with black restaurants? They run out of stuff, you know. Shout out to Bunny McKnight. Yeah, shady business practices. Absolutely, my brother. Bunny McKnight, love you, my brother. Shady business practices. You know, I've experienced it myself trying to do business with black folks. And sometimes the black folks just don't focus on customer service. If you fix my car and I bring it back to you and tell you something's wrong or it's still the same problem, then look into it and fix it. You know, but as Bunny McKnight said, there's a lot of shadiness going on. There's a lot of, you know, because a lot of black businesses, there's a lot of shady business practices, as Bunny McKnight just said, because, you know, when you're doing business, you know, when you're operating a business, you have to, you know, see, a lot of us hustle. You know, a lot of black folks, we hustle. We don't do business. We hustle. We don't build our businesses. We're totally, totally laser focused in on making money. We're not trying to build a business. We're not trying to build a following. We're not trying to satisfy the customer so the customer will come back over and over again. What we do is we're constantly on the hustle. We're on the hustle. Now, y'all know Valentine's Day. You know, you see it right off of South Orange Avenue in Newark, for example, for the folks who don't across America who don't really know what South Orange Avenue in Newark is. But you see, there'll be people, some folks will rent a truck, they'll rent a U-Haul truck, Ryder, whatever, Enterprise, and they'll fill that truck with those cheap Valentine's Day gifts. So when Valentine's Day come, you can, and when you're in the hood, you're guaranteed to see somebody with a truck loaded with cheap Valentine's Day gifts, Mother's Day, you know, and some of the other holidays where we buy gifts for our loved ones. And it's all about the hustle. It's not about the building the business. It's about the hustle. It's about making money by hook or crook. And this is what hurts Black businesses, because we don't build our businesses. We hustle. It's about the money. Damn the customer. And they're not all Black businesses, but many of them, because of the shady business practices, like my brother Bunny McKnight said, and some of the other things, the poor customer service, the lack of concern for the customer, the mismanagement in some cases, where you don't have a assembly line type of situation where you get people in and out, it just doesn't happen. So, you know, we talk about Black businesses to a large extent are not Black people are not going to Black businesses in some cases because the business is just bad. The business is bad. The customer service is bad. The concern for the customer's happiness is bad. You have to wait forever to get your stuff. You know, a lot of times they run out of things. And, you know, and I get it that some stores will, like Golden Crust, for example. If you go there late, you know, it's not that they ran out of stuff, but, you know, if you go there an hour before they close, there's going to be some stuff that they don't have, because it doesn't make sense for them to cook a whole bunch of stuff and they're closing in an hour, and whatever they cooked is going to go bad, so they can't put it in the refrigerator. They have to get rid of it. That part I understand. But in some cases, it'd be in the mid-afternoon, oh, we don't have no more of that, or we don't have no more of that, or we don't have this, you know. So I think that more so than anything else, I think the poor business practices is what hurts Black businesses, and that's why Black folks will run off to the Caucasian persuasion, because you know that if you buy something and it's not right, it'll get fixed. I mean, I bought a Suburban a few years back, and it needed a new engine. The engine needed to be rebuilt. You know, Sharon Allen Chambers. Hold on. Bunny McKnight says, if I'm paying full price, I expect exceptional. That's right. That's right. If I'm paying full price, I expect exceptional service. Sharon Allen Chambers, don't open up on time. Bunny McKnight, supply and demand. Right. You see, a lot of times we, because, you know, it's restaurants, it's barbershops, it's hair salons, and that we don't get into anything else. You know? So, again, I think that part of it is Black businesses have to learn, who have to get out of the hustle business and learn how to do business, how to build a business by providing reasonable goods and services for a reasonable price and customer service. Because a lot of times, and y'all know, we go to some place where you got to wait forever to get your food, and I don't want to, or whatever it is. I mean, I used to have a barber who would run outside and smoked weed and all this stuff. You know what I mean? And I'm like, damn, you know, so a haircut should only take an hour. It takes forever. So we need to be able to, and I don't mean to be ad nauseum with this, but we need to do better business. If we do better business, because it's not that Black folks are good. No folks come in. So we need to do better business. Black businesses need to focus on customer service, whether the customer's happy or not, get out of the hustle game and begin to provide for a reasonable price, and where you don't have to wait all day for those services. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. You know, the Trump people are threatening violence, and I actually heard some of this stuff. I got a couple of clips I'm going to play for you in just a second. We'll get into a whole lot more of what's going on in the crazy United States of America. We'll do that in just a second after I take this quick break. We'll be right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blocktalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly V. LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed. You know what time it is. You know what day it is. Remember the camel, the Geico camel? I used to crack up listening to that camel. That was Wednesday. But anyway, today is Thursday. It's September 17th already, 2020. The temperature is dropping. So the summer that wasn't is just about over. So I guess I have to wait until next year to go to the beach. Anyway, this is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com, on the AMFM Broadcast Network. And once again, October 2nd, we'll be moving to Fridays at 7 p.m. Fridays at 7 p.m., WWPR, 1490 a.m. in Tampa Bay, Bradenton area in Florida, Tampa Bay's number one talk radio station. And we got to get into Florida. I got to get into Florida. You know, I want to be in Florida because Florida, Biden needs help. And I just don't understand why the Latinos are down with Trump. I just don't get that. It's just unconscionable that Latinos will be down with Trump after all the things he said about Mexicans and Guatemalans and folks from South America, after all the stuff he said. They're rapists and they're this and they're that and the child molesters and that you, and it's just unbelievable. Shout out to Patricia Wilder, who's watching the program. So I can't believe that Trump is ahead of Biden with the Latinos. It's just completely, totally unbelievable. So Joe Biden has work to do. Kamala Harris has work to do. I believe she was in Philadelphia today, Northeast Philadelphia, campaigning. But they got to get it going, though. Biden and Kamala Harris have to get it going because the campaign is dead right now. It's just dead. It's dead. Shout out to Donnie Wilson, who's watching the program. Shout out to Patricia Wilder, who's watching the program. Yeah, so Biden has to get busy because the campaign is just dead. I'm just like, what are you guys doing? You know, Biden needs to come out of the closet, in Delaware, and he needs to get out on a campaign trail. I'm not saying have the super spreader rallies like Trump does, who's just a lying, just lies about everything. And I'm going to get to the violence that Trump supporters are threatening. If Trump loses, that's something that we have to be aware of. We have to watch out for. And I'm not saying everybody should get a gun. You know, I already have one. But I'm not saying everybody should get a gun and go out there and be, you know, and do things. But the lies that Trump tells. Let me say this. I watched the George Stephanopoulos interview which I thought was poorly done. Too many commercials. And I watched the ABC had a town hall just the other night. And she asked to watch this stuff. I mean, I'm sitting there like, you know, about to fall asleep. But I have to watch these things so I have up-to-date knowledge on what's going on in the United States of America when I do, when I crack open the mic and do my radio show. So a young lady asked Trump about why did he downplay. And he, and see, this is something he admitted. He admitted it on when he did the when he did the 17 interviews with the gentleman from the Washington Post, Bob Woodward, and just unbelievable. Then when the young lady asked him why he downplayed the disease, which has been proven to affect minority communities more than anyone else. Then he went into this thing about he put a, you know, I mean, just lie after lie. I mean, this man is incapable of telling the truth. And then he talks about, when he talks about police brutality, he talks about bad apples. No, it's not just a couple of bad apples. Half of the damn barrel of apples is bad. Half of, you know, and then you talk about Charles Bunny McKnight says the Latinos are confused. Yes, indeed, my brother. Yes, indeed. Those Latinos are confused. So y'all down in Tampa Bay, y'all going to get an earful from me starting October 2nd, the Ron Kelly Show on WWPR 1490 AM in Florida. So, yeah, so the Latinos are confused because after all he said to them and all he disparaged Latinos, he wouldn't let them in, he closed the borders, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. Latinos suck and all of this stuff. And then they still are supporting him. Now, I can see the kook fringe Republican crackpots who still support Trump no matter what he does. Now, that those I can kind of understand. But Latinos, it's just that would be like black folks supporting Trump. And there are some black folks out there who delusional black folks who support Trump, and they carry the moniker that, oh, Trump has done more for black people than anything since Abraham Lincoln. I mean, there's mental health issues in America, everybody. Some of them black folks need some therapy if they sit around, walk around, and believe that Trump is has done more for black folks. Trump has done nothing for black folks. He has supported police officers, and I'm not a kill the police and stop the police and defund the police. No, I'm not with that. I'm not with disbanding police departments. I've never been with that. No, we need cops. We need them around, but we need the good ones. You know, we need the good ones. We don't need the bad ones. I'm not a F the police and all. No. Do I see one? Do my spider senses start tingling when I'm driving? Yes. That what I will say. Yes. Because I was driving through Glen Rock, New Jersey today, and this police officer glared at me as I was driving past. He just looked scary. I mean, the way he glared at me, it was just scary the way he looked at me. I mean, I'm not afraid of him, but it was just startling the way this police officer glared at me as I was driving past. He was out there and he was directing traffic for school kids. And he, as I drove past, he glared at me and it was, I was like, wow, you know, interesting. Linda Lombroso says the Latinos just forgot about Trump in the cages. Yeah, they're still in the cages. They're still in the cages. Bunny McKnight says cops need better training and not to use their guns for, of course. And I spoke about it last week. If you listen to the program, you can go to the Ron Kelly Show archives, blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show, and you'll hear what I said about that last week, about non-lethal weapons that police should have, like wood blocks and stuff like that. The same stuff that they use in correctional facilities, because, you know, in jail, police officers, the corrections officers are not allowed to carry guns, only in the most extreme cases. The most extreme cases, like if the jail's been taken over or something like that, and it's an un, controllable situation, then the corrections officers are allowed to carry guns. But up until that point, they have the most high tech beanbags and wood blocks. Believe you me, when one of those wood blocks hits you flying at 100 miles an hour and it hits you, you're going to stop whatever it was that you were doing. So let me play this. Listen to this. Let me play this clip. Everybody listen very carefully. Let me play this trip, this clip. This was from a Trump rally in Hershey, Pennsylvania. The same place where Hershey Park is. And these are some Trump supporters who are threatening violence and civil war if Trump loses.
He's not going to be removed. He's not going to be removed. He's not going to be removed.
You feel confident in that?
My 357 Magnum is comfortable with that. End of story.
And they remove him in the Senate? Mm-hmm. I think it would cause physical violence in this country that we haven't seen since the first of the I think it would become the second civil war.
I would think that there would be a strong movement. It would be very negative. Possible violence, not condemning violence. There'll be a lot of mad Americans, possibly 70-80 million Americans on the loose, not very happy.
Wow. I mean, unbelievable. 70-80 million pissed off Trump supporters and folks are going to go out and just wreak havoc across America. That man said, my 357 Magnum is okay. I mean, the other brother, the second person, you probably couldn't hear it that much. I could hear it because I'm right in front of the computer screen. He said that it's going to be the second civil war if Trump loses. I'm like, unbelievable. So folks, so everybody, you know, y'all, I mean, we better be aware. We need to be aware. Because when the verdict comes in that Trump lost, if he loses, you know, you're gonna have to, you know, you're gonna have to put your spider senses on permanent, because stuff is going to happen. Now, as far as it happening here, or in Democratic cities where there's a large minority population, now I don't know about it. I don't know if they're gonna do that, but they will, as they already have. They will infiltrate the Black Lives Matter protests, and I believe that some people are going to get hurt. That man said it. He said, my 357 Magnum. I mean, wow, unbelievable. So this is, you know, people are not going to be, you know, it's not going to be like when Barack Obama won and there were 2 million people in the park in Chicago and everybody was gathered around the campfire singing Kumbaya. It's not going to be like that. There's a movement amongst the kook fringe, crazy crackpot Republicans and Trump supporters with their MAGA hats on who are going to want to cause problems. They're going to want to cause problems, in regards to Trump losing. So this is something that's worrisome. Now, I'm aware of it. Am I scared or frightened? No, but it is gives you something to think about, to pause and reflect on. That these people are saying that they're going to go out. I mean, can you imagine, like, all the Trump supporters just coming out and just wreaking havoc and running crazy and killing people? And there will be, I believe that there will be some blood. Now, do I know that for absolute certainty? No, but you hear these people. I just played the clip of a Trump rally in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where these people were saying, like, yeah, we're gonna do some shit. You know, so it's gonna be crazy. It's going to be crazy. It's about 5 minutes left to the program. And so yeah, it's going to be crazy. So the football ratings are down. And there are some folks who are attributing that to kneeling and moments of silence and Black Lives Matter and they have some sayings on the back of their helmets, say her name, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are some people who are attributing that to football ratings are down because NFL and NBA and some of the other sports leagues have embraced Black Lives Matter. Shout out to Patricia Wilder, who says that we have to stay aware and on high alert. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We do have to stay alert and stay aware and be on high alert. So there are some people who are attributing the football ratings drop because folks are just not watching football because of that. Now, if you just wasn't a football fan, if you're not watching football because the NFL has embraced Black Lives Matter, then you just wasn't a football fan to begin with. You know, because if they were saying White Lives Matter or whatever the case may be, I would still watch football because I love watching football, you know. And so these people are saying that they are not, you know, so they, it's not, it's just that there's no people in the stand. I mean, we in this COVID age, we're finding out how important the fans are. How important the fans are. There's no shouts of fans, crazy fans in the stands, and the fireman from the, who sits in the Jets, who goes to all the Jets games, the fireman, and some of these other people who are indigenous to sports. So I think that because there's no fans, like the NBA, the ratings are probably down because there's no fans. There's nobody in the stands. I mean, who wants to watch a football game with no fans and piped in crowd noise? Now, we all know that there's nobody there. So, yeah, so even me, like, you know, I kind of like turned away from the football. I mean, I watched the Cowboys game and they lost because, you know, because I'm a Cowboy fan. And I watched the Giants game because I wanted to see them lose. So I watched the Giants game. But yeah, the ratings are going to be down because there's nobody in the stands. That's just it. Shout out to Patricia Wilder, who says athletes are taking a stand and refusing to be silent. Absolutely. And then there's a lot of people, oh, why are they doing that? And why? You know, let's just look back to why they're doing it in the first place. See, that gets lost in the sauce there. Why black athletes are protesting and why black athletes are getting involved in the Black Lives Matter movement, et cetera, et cetera. They're doing it because black people are being killed by white police officers. I just read a story just the other day. I posted it on my Facebook page about a white man who killed one police officer, shot the gravely wounded the other one, you know, and this man was arrested without a scratch. Without a scratch. You see the videos all the time of white folks who don't get killed, who are going after the police officers, who don't get killed. You know, see, these people are just white folks, the kook fringe, Republican, crackpots are just oblivious, just refuse to accept the fact that what's going on in this country. In the United States of America. Okay, 50 seconds left to the program. I want to thank everybody. Thank all the folks all across the United States of America who partake of the Ron Kelly Show every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com and various places across America. Thank you to my Facebook Live folks who are always there. Bunny McKnight, Linda Lombrazo, Donnie Wilson, Sandra Joy Jones, Ronald McCready, and all of you folks, Sean Allen Chambers, the list goes on and on, Rosalind Christie, Dave Ullman, Albert Vega, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Thank you so much, everybody, for checking me out. We'll see you back here next Thursday for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, stay aware, and remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice, and that we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much. I think I'm done. Hmm.